Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Rimpi Chugh, a principal product manager at Synopsys with 14 years of varied experience in EDA and functional verification. Prior to joining Synopsys, Rimpi held field applications and verification engineering positions at Mentor Graphics, Cadence, and HCL Technologies. Welcome to the podcast, Rimpi.
Thank you, Daniel. Happy to be here.
So can you give us a quick update on the status of static verification in today's design flow?
Sure. So static verification as a domain has, just for knowledge of the audience, has gained immense importance from the designer world over time. And today, what we have seen is that the designers want to identify and fix maximum bugs early at RTL, say the bugs like combination loops, multiple driver issues. So they want to get to a synthesizable CVC clean or RDC clean RTL faster and expand that scope further. So in general, the core benefit of static verification has been to pinpoint design issues early in the design cycle, and that too at the lowest cost possible. So in general, what we have seen is that the lint sign-off is part of the code check-in process by the designers. And this is the general norm at almost all the semiconductor design companies. And on top of that, what we have seen is that given the criticality of missing CDC and RDC bugs, the impact of missing them is pretty high, as high as it can kill the chip, the overall functionality of the final taped out design. So these bugs are typically not caught by any other tools. So that's the whole background on the static verification flow. What we have seen is that in today's design development flow, the RTL designers must ensure, as part of their RTL sign-off checklist, they must ensure that the design is lint, CDC, and RDC clean, and even glitch clean, which is more like the new area where we have seen a lot of issues in the latest designs. So these kind of issues are the ones which are part of the RTL checklist where they need to be fixed during the static verification phase. And the main goal here is for to fix these with the lowest cost or minimum investment early in the design cycle, while the impact of minimum investment early in the design cycle is very, very high. So that's why it's like a standard norm by every RTL designer to get done with these efforts early in the design cycle.
And how are the latest technologies shaping static verification's impact on the development cycle today? You know, and what new solutions are available that can enable more efficient RTL sign-off for designers?
Sure. So static verification space has innovated a lot over the years, and the innovation has been along three major dimensions, where we'll like connect with the previous question, where the designer aimed to achieve the shift left with the sole goal in mind of developing first time right silicon. So in these three dimensions that I was referring to, the first one is more like a core foundational innovation in the static verification space at Synopsys, which has been to be able to scale to huge billion plus designs, because the designs are very, very huge and complex. So we need to scale to these billion plus designs. And while we do so, we also need to ensure that the designer is able to analyze millions of violations in a realistic time frame. It should not be that the designers take months to go through the long list of violations or the millions of violations that they have to analyze. So as part of this effort, basically in order to meet this ask or meet this demand from the industry, we see Spyglass, which is the Synopsys static verification platform, is now multi-core, multi-mode enabled, solely to address the scalability demand from the industry. And to address the need for designers to be able to assess millions of violations, We also have a new technology which is pretty much adopted by various customers so far. So that that goes by the name of machine learning based root cause analysis. What it does is that it allows the designers to be able to debug clusters. Basically, it's a cluster based verification where each cluster helps the user to assess a group of violations. And these group of violations within a cluster has a common root cause. So for designers, when they fix one cluster, or let's say it is a group of violations, if they fix one root cause for a cluster, they are able to fix multiple violations in one go. So that's how it allows the designers to achieve 10x debug productivity and sometimes even higher. Especially in the early design verification space, sorry, early design development phase. Coming to the second area or the second dimension, when moving beyond the core foundation or foundational innovation that I was referring to in the first dimension, Synopsys has focused on maximizing the scope of identifying more and more bugs, because that's the core bread and butter of the technology, where the aim is to maximize and identify all possible bugs early in the design development phase. So what we have done is that there are new applications like RDC and Glitch also, which I was referring to earlier, which has gained more momentum in terms of usage by the designers. The designers are now able to actually maximize this state space in the space of bug finding. So essentially, a single glitch, just wanted to highlight the impact of glitch verification, where a single glitch can again be deadly for a chip functionality. And what we have seen is that ultimately, when we ask a certain customer to, let's say, consider glitch verification because of the impact on the overall functionality of the design, there have been interesting conversations with designers in this space where when Synopsys used to explain the criticality, at times because of bandwidth issues or schedule pressures at the designer's end, it was overlooked by a certain set of customers. But when unfortunately they faced some, let's say, glitch-related silicon bugs, then it is then when the customer realized the importance of glitch verification, and they suddenly jumped to the idea of glitch verification and wanted to deploy it right away. So that's what we have seen in the space of second dimension of the innovation front. So furthermore, moving to the third dimension of innovation, we have expanded the RTL sign-off effort to enable shift left beyond the traditional RTL sign-off checklist by additional analysis of new unique issues, leveraging hyperconvergence between static and the digital implementation technologies. So in this case, the unique issues are the ones that may typically surface later in the design implementation phase or on the final netlist, but could be preemptively addressed, or the checks and balances can be put in place explicitly before the RTL handoff to the implementation phase. So in this category of hyperconvergence technologies, we have pioneered two innovations, namely, that is implementation design checks, or IDC, and CDC-aware synthesis, which helps minimizing the iterations between static sign-off and the final digital implementation. Lastly, a quick sneak peek on the latest innovation in the GenAI space. We have been working on agent-assisted lens sign-off as a key disruptor, as the next key disruptor in the innovation effort or innovation focus from our side as Synopsys.
Okay, and can you talk a little bit more about the need for IDCs and how it impacts the RTL sign-off checklist for designers?
Sure. So implementation design checks, or IDC, it helps the RTL designers to ensure that there is no unintended block of registers that will be optimized later during synthesis. And the designers get to fix such gaps in the RTL code earlier in the RTL cycle itself. So historically, what has been happening to address this gap is that the designers are highlighted such gaps in the code, by implementation engineers later, where the implementation engineers have, let's say, done the manual and intensive debug of millions of lists of registers by eyeballing the log files from Fusion Compiler or any other implementation tool. And this historical effort by the implementation engineers is actually very error prone and difficult as well. What this technology or IDC offers is the precise pinpointing of the root cause of register optimization, and that spans across several layers of hierarchy. So getting to what needs to be fixed in the RTL code will become very intuitive for the designers when using IDC, since it pinpoints to the relevant details. So it gives all this extra information to be able to debug faster, which is in terms of waveform, schematic, which can span across multiple layers of hierarchies. This becomes very useful, especially in the complex scenarios where the user wants to get to the root cause of what was the reason or what portion of the code actually caused my block of registers to simply vanish away during synthesis. So a user gets to do this analysis sooner. So in summary, IDC actually helps in shift left and detection of these issues and get to the root cause analysis of these complex scenarios sooner in the design cycle.
Interesting. So how does the new CDC-aware synthesis flow in VC Spyglass improve the handling of clock domain crossings, and what benefits does it bring to the overall design cycle?
Sure. So historically, what we have seen is that there are error-prone methods such as RTL pragmas or manual synthesis directives being used in the digital implementation phase, so as to be able to protect different CDC paths from being modified in such a way that CDC issues crop up in certain parts in the design again. Such pragmas or actual manual synthesis directives, when used by user, it can lead to two different problems, which are largely over-constraining of the design or sometimes under-constraining of the design in combination with constraints, of course. So what happens is, let's say, when the situation of over-constraining is experienced, what we have seen is that the PPA achieved for the design may be suboptimal. So essentially, the user could have achieved more PPA, but due to over-constraining, the final PPA of the design was, let's say, suboptimal. Additionally, the impact of over-constraining is that the digital implementation tools end up trying harder to resolve these design constraints given the over-constraining, and eventually they end up running longer than they could have completed the job faster if the design was properly constrained. The other side of this coin is that the design could be under constraint. So if the pragmas or the manual synthesis directives that are provided by the user during the implementation phase, if that situation, if the number of constraints that are provided are lesser than the user should have been providing, in that case, it implies that some of the design CDC design paths are not protected. And there might be a possibility that glitch gets introduced for such paths during synthesis transformations. And essentially, it's exposing your design to post-synthesis CDC bugs on the netlist. So that means a CDC was reintroduced during synthesis. So how CDC-aware synthesis helps in this case is that it will help the user to automatically generate synthesis directives during the CDC verification using VC Spyglass. And these comprehensive synthesis directives can be later consumed by Fusion Compiler directly, so that the Fusion Compiler is now fully aware on what kind of transformation are allowed on which CDC paths. So overall, CDC-aware synthesis has two core benefits for the designers. The one is to reduce manual burden to define such synthesis directives, and the other one is to maximize the PPA for the design, while ensuring that each and every CDC path is protected and is not impacted by the RTL to netlist transformations.
And how do advancements in VC Spyglass technologies align with the growing demand for faster time to market and higher design quality in the semiconductor industry?
Sure. So this is in continuation to all the different innovations that we discussed in the previous questions. So with the growing demand for faster time to market, the scope and importance of RTO sign off methodology has grown multifold. Today, companies want to find all kind of bugs that they can find before synthesis. Say, for any of the bad coding practices at RTL, over time, let's say, if they realize that there are these certain bad coding practices at RTL which caused issues when trying to meet power goals later. So at times, people identify these kind of bad coding practices and they learn that, okay, it might make sense to have an additional lint check at RTL. And that has transformed for us in the VC Spyglass lint space. It has transformed in terms of, let's say, power lint checks. So in this case, the user has to ensure that they enable this power lint methodology, and that will help enable them to fix these power lint issues earlier at RTL. So from effort-wise, it is very low, but the impact on the overall design cycle in terms of meeting power goals or in terms of achieving high quality end product or final silicon is pretty high. So that's one example for the key innovations that we have done in the past. Similarly, there have been groundbreaking innovations in terms of multi-core processing, multi-machine processing, and very recently we have introduced the distributed CVC flows as well, which aims to deliver faster time to market so that the designers can do their CVC analysis faster.
Great. Last question, Rupi. How do you see AI and machine learning shaping the future of static verification, and what role will VC Spyglass play in this evolution?
Sure, Daniel. So I briefly mentioned about agent-assisted lint sign-off earlier. So let's delve into that, the details of the same. So sometime last year, we actually introduced Synopsys Lint Advisor, which is powered by GenAI. And leveraging Lint Advisor, we are working today with key partners to deliver automatic lint fixes. So for example, the tool can deliver automatic fix of RTL for let's say, 1,000 of violations in one go, and which can be a very powerful application for designers. This essentially allows them to skip the part where they go and address each individual violation for lint one by one. So the power here lies in is that they can fix thousands of violations in one go, and they just have to quickly review it and later and get done with the lint sign-off. The next phase of Lint Advisor is actually agentic AI workflow for lint sign-off, and a proof of concept for this workflow, which illustrates Synopsys' vision for agent engineer technology, which is a multi-agent flow for Synopsys combined with the Microsoft Discovery platform. This workflow was actually demonstrated recently at DAC US 2025. One of the agents within this multi-agent flow corresponded to the design verification space. One of the agents within this multi-agent flow was the lint agent or lint agent engineer in the grand scheme of overall collaboration or the workflow that we demonstrated at DAC. And this space is actually evolving by the day, and there are interesting times ahead. It has the potential of being a big disruptor for the RTL designers and even other user personas. So for our audience today, I would say that stay tuned for more groundbreaking innovations in this space.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Rupi, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Same here. Thank you, Daniel.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.